This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Good and Faithful Servant.
In a variety of ways, the word faithful, and faithfulness are so important in our life. It's mentioned 109 times in the Bible. It's descriptive of our relationship with God, our family, our friends, and the church. As Christians, it's the measure by which God is monitoring our lives for future evaluation in heaven, and it's the operative word we desire to hear from Him in that heavenly evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ. Matthew 25, 21 says it. Read it with me. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. One more time. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. One day you're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be looking with His piercing eyes into your eyes. And He's going to say something to you if you've been faithful. He's going to say, well done. You've been faithful. I want to hear those words. As a Christian, as your pastor, as a husband to my wife, as a father to my children, I want to hear the words, good job, well done. So I'd like to explore the meaning of the word faithful with you this morning. The title is apt, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because at its heart, faithfulness means adhering strictly to the person, cause, or idea to which one is bound. Steadfast adherence to Christ and His word and His church. For so many people, church is just an option. It's an elective, if you will. You don't need it to graduate. Au contraire, you need to be in God's house with God's people on a regular basis to be fed, to have your batteries charged. It's not optional. If you want to survive in a world constantly encroaching in your mind with ideas that run contrary to God's word, you need to be in a place where you hear God's word to balance it out. Can a half-hour sermon balance out what you are bombarded with on the internet, over Twitter, Facebook, over television and radio? It can't possibly do that. But the Holy Spirit can use this book and the words that come from this book to enlighten your mind to know the difference between what you're hearing to be true or to be false, or to be pushing you away from God or bringing you closer to God. The synonyms, words that mean the same regarding faithfulness: loyal, true, constant, resolute, devoted. Boy, does that word mean so much in a marriage, no? Commitment in marriage, devotion in marriage, trustworthiness and dependable. Those are important qualities. They shouldn't be going by the wayside in our culture and in our society. They are the hinge pin, the linchpin of what makes people be people of integrity and character, and those who aren't. The first time the word faithful appears in the Bible, it's ironically connected with an act of unfaithfulness and jealousy. Moses' sister Miriam and his brother Aaron are angry with Moses because he married an Ethiopian. Ethiopian people were black, and the brother and sister didn't like that, marrying outside of the faith. So now they've decided to aggressively challenge Moses' leadership over Israel. The scripture reports that God got very angry with the two of them. He called them out. Miriam and Aaron, he calls them from the tabernacle, and he says this in Numbers 12:3. Moses was very meek. He was kind, he was patient, he was humble. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, he's the best guy you've ever seen. And what he's done is an act of love and kindness. He goes on to say this in Numbers 12:7. God says Moses is the only faithful spiritual leader in all of Israel. That's a pretty profound thing to say, but that's what God says about Moses. It seems in God's economy, the only service that counts is faithful service. Faithful service. Faithfulness, character, integrity, and loyalty in your living may go unnoticed and unappreciated by those around you here and now. Does your boss appreciate your faithfulness on the job? Do they appreciate how much you're really giving yourself, if you are? Well, they may not, but God is. He's not missing a thing. God knows and sees the measure of your faithfulness, and the day will come when he'll tell you so face to face. Proverbs 26:20, verse 6 says this, most men will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? We're so easy and so readily already to pat ourselves on the back for all the things that we do. But what about being faithful? What about that accomplishment? It's very hard to find a faithful friend. You don't believe it? How many friends have been alienated over their Facebook page? Huh? How many people are hurting other people because they need to advance themselves and they jump over other people? Look what's going on in politics. Look what's going on in sports. Just look around our world today. People will take advantage of other people. God's not looking for a few good men and a few good women. He's looking for faithful men and faithful women. True faith shows up in faithfulness. We don't have all the same giftedness. We've been created as individuals who will complement and supplement one another in service to Christ. But the one quality we can all possess with God's help is being faithful. Now, what that means is that there are going to be some times when you're just hanging on by your fingertips. You've got doubts. You've got fears. You've got anxieties. You've got stress. You've got all the human emotions that can possibly run rampant at a particular moment in time. And you can only hang on by your fingertips to God's promises. That's being faithful. There are times when you can't handle it and you just drop to your face. You drop to your knees and you say, I just can't go on another minute. But then you hear that still small voice of God encouraging you through his word. And he's telling you, don't let go. Keep on keeping on. And the minute you raise your head and look up to heaven, from whence comes your salvation, when you look up to heaven, the moment you do that, that's faithfulness. That's all you can do at that particular moment, but that's all God cares. Just wants to know you're there. We plod along. We take it one day at a time. We run the good race. We be constant. We be consistent in our faith walk. It makes for a truly wonderful life. People who have given up on faith in Jesus Christ, if you meet them years later, they're miserable. That's been my experience, having been a Christian since 1955. Of course, I was born much later than that. But Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Abound with blessings. God's not stingy. When he decides to pour his blessings on you, you can't outgive God. When he pours blessings upon you through good times and rough times and stressful times, you feel it. You know it. You've got a presence inside of you that cannot be comprehended. He said, I'm going to give you a peace that even you won't understand through times like that. That's a promise. You know what you have to do with that promise? Claim it. Claim it. Faithfulness to the Lord is not a Sunday thing. Over time, a consistent witness of biblical living shows itself every day of the week. Over time, it becomes who we are, wherever we are. They'll know we're Christians by our love. Do people know at your school, where you work, do people know that you're Christians? Do they know that you're a Christian? If not, why not? You know, there is no such thing as a secret service in God's kingdom. You're either out or you're not out. There's no place to hide. I told you probably 100 times the story of when I was in high school and joined the High BA Club, High School Born Againers. And it was, my friends did it, and I said I wanted to do it. And they, you know, the first couple of weeks it was really terrific Bible study and all that. They were really getting us revved up to go back to school and be a witness. And so they said, we want you to carry your Bible to school. And I said, I've never carried my Bible to school, but I'm going to do it. And I started carrying my Bible to school. But in those days, that we didn't have backpacks. We had a belt. You had 400 books. You put the belt around it. You needed your dad's belt or your great uncle, fat uncle to do it. But anyway, you had all of the books in a belt and you carried them off. And my Bible was very, very well hidden. Right there, deep inside all of those books. You couldn't tell I had a Bible or a geography book. I was good. I was carrying my Bible. Next week, we got back for High BA, and they said, did you take your Bible? Boy, Bobby's hand was the first hand up. Yeah, man, I took my Bible. Wow, it was great, great, great. So they said, good. Okay, we have something special for you because you took your Bible to school. I said, oh, can't wait. It was the brightest red cover. And on the spine of it, in white, it said, Holy Bible. And I said, Holy Mackerel. What's going to happen now? Well, they couldn't hide that Bible. And then they did the next thing. They said, okay, now we want you to pray in school for your lunch. And you know how that started out with me? I wasn't wearing glasses in those days. Okay, I'm going to do this. Like, thank you, Lord, for this day. And I bless this word. Nobody knew. Secret agent. You can't be a secret agent. Are you a secret agent? Faithfulness comes out to make you who you are, wherever you are, all the time. In today's mindset of disposable relationships, when divorce is the norm, when adultery is glorified, when friendships are destroyed on Facebook, if you have a faithful spouse, a faithful friend, you are truly blessed. A faithful spouse or a faithful friend is in it for the long haul, through the good times and the bad times. The Bible gives us a beautiful account of such faithfulness. It's found in the book of Ruth. Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi are now widows, and they've fallen upon impossible economic times. And they've decided they can no longer continue traveling together, that they're going to have to break up. This is what the mother-in-law says. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ruth chapter 1, verses 15. Now Ruth 1:8 says this, Naomi says to Ruth, go. But Ruth says to Naomi, no, I'm not going. And here's the account. Stand with me, if you will, as we read from Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Verse 18, let's read. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You may be seated. Now Naomi speaks the words of faithfulness. Look what she says. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Where your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die and there be buried. That's commitment. That's devotion. That's faithfulness. What kinds of faithful words can we say to our spouse, to our friends, and above all to the Lord? Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I cannot do this on my own. It is impossible for any one of us to stand alone. Again, another reason to be surrounded this morning, to be surrounded by your brothers and sisters like this, to come under the teaching of God's word about being faithful. This is a source of encouragement and challenge to you this morning. If you were home watching football, I mean, I can't be watching football now. What would you be watching? I don't know. Who? NASCAR. Okay. I hear the tires squealing even as we speak. The Apostle Paul experienced the whole gamut of friendship experiences. The year is 66 AD. We find him in a Roman prison. His arrest was so sudden he had no time to gather his personal possessions. He left his books. He left his papers. He even left his coat behind. They took him out of a cell. Then they brought him to a particular prison, and they put him in the lowest part of the prison they possibly could. The cell is 55 degrees all the time. He doesn't even have a coat. It's cold. He's tired. There's rats. He knows that death is just around the corner. And in that setting, he's writing his second letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. As he writes, he looks back to reflect on friends and co-workers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin reading for you, verse 10 and 11. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And then we drop to verses 14 through 17. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. In verse 10, he said, Demas has abandoned me. Demas had other priorities. Do we have other priorities? On a Sunday morning, what are our priorities? How important is it to be here on a Sunday morning? Other things can come along and disrupt that. Other priorities can take us off the beaten track of growing in our faith. When you have friends, your friends want to hear from you. They want to know that you're there for them, but you have other priorities. I want to be known as a pastor who's always there for the people in my congregation. I don't want to have other priorities. The Lord is my priority, and taking care of the people he has given me is my priority. Taking care of my wife and my family, that's my priority. Luke was faithful. There we go. Luke was faithful, and he's noted about it. He's noted here in this book 2,000 years ago. And guess what? When Luke stands before Jesus on the judgment seat of Christ, that's exactly the words he's going to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. John Mark cut out, and he came back. We see that in all our relationships. There are people, you know, somebody said to me once a long time ago, a pastor said, the ministry is like a train ride. The people who get on with you at the first stop are not necessarily the same people who get off with you at the last stop. And that is the way it is in your relationships. You may have had friends just a few years ago. You don't even know what's happening in their life anymore. It's that kind of a deal. And with everybody talking on their device these days, do you even know what your friends look like? I mean, they're kind of like getting obscure. But they can come out, they can cut out, and they can come back. 14, Alexander the coppersmith was a betrayer who went on to become an enemy. He wasn't satisfied just betraying Paul. Now he wanted to bring Paul down. This reminds me of political life here in America. People aren't just content to disagree with somebody. Now they want to destroy you. You see, human nature hasn't changed. This is happening 2,000 years ago. It's happening 2,000 years later. Beware. People are going to hurt you in this life. Be prepared. The one who will never hurt you, the one who will never let you down, Jesus never fails. Hang on. And verse 16, Paul was alone in the Roman court when he appeared before Caesar himself. There was nobody there to stand up for him in time of trouble. You'll experience that too if you hang on long enough. But the reality was, somebody was there. This is real stuff. Disappointment, abandonment, betrayal, jealousy, broken relationships, broken hearts, broken lives. It happens in families, friendships, in the workplace, and in church. As Paul winds down his reminiscence, he brings to our reading this great truth, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. When others abandoned me, the Lord stood with me. Can you say amen to that? When others abandon you, the Lord will not. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you go. You might make bad choices, but those are on you, not on me. I choose to be faithful to you, says the Lord. He's going to see you through your doubts and through your fears and through your ups and through your downs. Paul experienced what he knew intellectually. Though we fail God, he will never fail us. When we are faithless, he is faithful. You need to remember that, because when we mess up, you know what our first reaction is? We give up on God. We walk away. Hang on. God hasn't given you up. God has demonstrated for time and eternity that he's in it for the long haul. So I want you to listen and remember four promises of his faithfulness in your times of trouble. Number one, Deuteronomy 7:9 says, God's faithfulness is everlasting. God's faithfulness is everlasting. Here's what 7:9 says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. He's not giving up on you today. You may give up on him, but he's not giving up on you. Hang in. Number two, Psalm 89:33. God's faithfulness is unfailing. The verse says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly, completely take from him, nor suffer or allow my faithfulness to fail. As I said, you may give up on God, But God hasn't given up on you. What will you do with a God like that? You can't outrun him. You can't outdistance him. You can't hide from him. You can't close your ears to him or your eyes to him for long. He's going to catch up with you. You're going to follow him. It's going to be either the easy way or the hard way. But one way or another, circumstance may catch you. Number three, Psalm 36:5, God's faithfulness knows no limit. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. You think you're the worst Christian that ever walked the face of the earth? You're not. You think that other people you look up to are perfect? They're not. None of us can pass that test. All of us have failures. All of us have temptations. All of us give into our temptations from time to time. We're all human. And God loves you just the way you are, but loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. And number four, Lamentations 3:22 and 23, God's faithfulness is great. Quote, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness is an aspect of God's nature. His faithfulness in creation keeps your heart beating, keeps the sun at the exact distance from the earth needed to support life on this planet. His faithfulness brings the seasons and the ebb and flow of the tides to arrive on time to accomplish their purposes that God divinely appointed. He is faithful to you and to me. One day in the not too distant future, we believers will stand before the Lord for his evaluation. An evaluation the Bible refers to as a judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment designed to determine our salvation. It's to determine what we've done in this life on the basis of whether or not we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It will not be a judgment for our sins. Our sins were judged at Calvary. When you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart, he did that. When you sinned this morning or yesterday or the day before or whenever or in the future, if you confess your sins at that point, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This judgment seat of Christ has got nothing to do with your sin. It's got to do with other things, and I want to share what they are. What will be evaluated? 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, your works, what you've done. Have you walked by hurting people? Have you cried with those who cry? Have you sacrificed for those who need your healing touch and your love? Have you alienated yourself from the people around you? Or do you try your best to bring people together? Are you a peacemaker or a warrior? Matthew 12:36 and 37. My words, you're going to be judged for your words. Hurtful words. Dave mentioned it in the Sunday school class this morning. There was a study that said, you can say one mean-spirited thing to a person, but it's going to take something like 9 encouraging things to overcome that mean-spirited thing. How mean-spirited have I been or you been with our words? How careless have we been with our words? What things have we said? I say thousands of words before I step off this morning, and I could easily say something I don't mean to say to hurt somebody. But how many times do we go out of our way to hurt somebody? And when you say something to somebody who likes you or cares for you or thinks a lot of you, and you hurt them, it's going to take a lot for them to overcome that. Matthew 15:19 and 20, your thoughts, the secret place. Nobody can read your thoughts but God. And nobody can know your thoughts but you and God. Romans 2:16, your very secrets, the second life you really live. 2 Corinthians 15:14, 1 Corinthians 3:21, your motives. Why do you do the things that you do? Just to be noticed? Just to have somebody pat you on the back? To boost up your ego and your pride? Or do you do things because you love and because you care? God's watching all those things. Are you encouraging people with your words? Are you doing acts of kindness and deeds of kindness every day? Are your thoughts focused on him? Are you living a life that can bear examination? And are your motives such that you're doing them purely to try and help others along their way? The result of that evaluation will either be a series of commendations the Bible calls crowns, or the loss of those commendations. Again, it's not about sin or salvation. It's about faithfulness and God's recognition of your faithfulness in the very end. Jesus speaks to us about being faithful. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as the minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God requires in you and me as followers of Jesus Christ that we be faithful. Again, it's not an elective. It's mandatory that we be faithful. And then listen to the words of Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus doesn't call us to succeed, only to faithfulness. He promises to honor that faithfulness. And I close with a few renderings of some faithful people who never got to sense what that meant in their lives. America's first missionary, Adoniram Judson, labored for 7 years in Burma before he first saw a convert. 7 years, and then he saw a convert. Robert Morrison, the founder of missions in China, labored for 7 years before his first convert was won to Christ. Missionary Alan Gardner traveled repeatedly to South America, trying to evangelize the islands of Patagonia and Tierra del Fuego. He eventually died of starvation without seeing a single soul saved. But the South American Missionary Society he founded has been sending missionaries and seeing souls saved for over 150 years. In 1939, the first Sudan interior mission workers went to Doro in southern Sudan to share the gospel with the Maban people who never heard of Christ. Years passed and three SIM workers were buried at Doro, and more than 50 worked there diligently from 1939 to 1964 when they had to leave because of a civil war. When they left, there were less than a handful of baptized believers in good standing. But when they were able to later return to the Sudan, they were amazed to find large groups of witnessing believers with nearly 300 wanting to be baptized. God doesn't call you to success. He calls you to faithfulness, and He will reward that faithfulness. I challenge you, I encourage you, and I challenge myself. And I encourage myself. Be ye faithful. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.